Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Andrew Orr, how are you today?
I am good, but it's very rainy today, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, I get it. Some days the rain is just kind of in the way. I do know places that would be dancing with joy to have rain today. So the real problem is that the weather is not considerate. It doesn't put the rain where people really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs, which is awesome. And they have a deal for you, and I will tell you what that is soon. But what I want to do right now is talk about this Steve Jobs. Isn't that funny? Now, that would be an interview. If Steve Jobs did a new interview now,
I
could picture it. So, Steve, what do you think will be the next thing that Apple decides to do? Brains. Actually, it's an interview with Tim Cook. And Andrew, you got a chance to see the interview. So I'm curious, what's your take on this, and what were like the high points for you?
Yeah, so this interview was on Vice. It appeared last night on HBO, but it's also on YouTube for anyone that wants to watch it. And I'm also going to write an article about it too. So
okay, when your article's done, I will add it to the show notes. So listeners, you'll be able to find a link to it there.
So a couple things in particular stood out at me. One of the questions that the interviewer asked him was whether Apple worked with other companies to ban Alex Jones from the internet, because there have been a lot of conservative people claiming that Silicon Valley companies are stifling conservative news online. And of course, Tim Cook said no. He didn't talk with anyone else, and as far as he knows, no one at Apple did either. It was purely based on what Apple already does with curation in the App Store and Apple News and other places. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really go into specifics, but I'm assuming it reached a point with Alex where they said enough was enough and we need to do something about this.
And then they did, and then the conspiracy theories kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Then after that, everyone else just followed Apple's lead, like Facebook and Twitter.
You know, I'm inclined to believe Tim on this one, because it just seems to me like Apple's modus operandi is to see whatever it is that they feel needs a change, and then they figure out themselves what they want to do, and they do it, and everyone else then can follow their lead or not. Mm-hmm. They do it with products, and it looks like they do it with banning certain content from the App Store too, or from iTunes.
Now, if they went so far as to, you know, somehow block people from visiting his website in Safari, then of course that would be more concerning.
I would have a serious problem with that. Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with Alex Jones' philosophy and the way he presents topics, but I also would have a real problem with a major and very powerful corporation deciding that they were going to block access in their own web browser to someone's content.
Oh, you mean like Facebook did the other day temporarily when a breach was talked about by The Guardian?
I heard about that.
Yeah, I have that a real problem with that.
Yeah. So that's a good reason why you should get your news straight from the source and not filtered by some intermediary watering hole like Facebook.
Yeah, and to be clear, what Facebook did and And this hypothetical scenario we created for Apple, which, to be clear, is not something that has happened. These are not First Amendment violations, freedom of speech, because these are companies deciding, or in this case, Facebook, a company deciding what content it will allow on its platform, which is not the same as the government restricting access to content. So still, Facebook doing that, I have a problem with that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, anything else that stood out for you?
Yeah, so the other thing was, you know, they talked briefly about China, about the big issue where Apple worked with a Chinese company to store the data of Chinese users in China. Like, that's a rule that China has now.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really satisfied with his answer because he said, like, one thing he mentioned was he wouldn't, like, don't get caught up in the where's the location of the data, because that's how it works in the rest of the world. Apple has data centers in all these different countries. But the thing that's different about China is that the iCloud encryption keys are also stored in China. Mm-hmm. Now, even though Apple still has control of the keys, I still think that they could do more to be more transparent, like what exactly is going on with the legal process over there and if it's any different than what Apple's doing in other countries.
Yeah, I would like to know more about that too. I like the idea that Apple is proactively working to protect our digital privacy, but it does raise a few questions when Apple isn't being completely transparent about what's happening with China.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is that there are negotiations behind the scenes, and Apple expresses its interest and concerns, and China does theirs, and they work out an agreement. And sometimes the details of those agreements, even though they're mutual and beneficial, aren't necessarily something that they want to divulge for political reasons. And so it looks, we create a specter in my mind that Apple's completely caved, or Google or somebody has completely caved into China because of our cynicism. But what we don't get a chance to see the agreement behind the scenes, nor understand why some of it's being kept under wraps, which makes us even more suspicious.
Mm-hmm. And since we don't have the answers, the questions remain. And yeah, that feeds into the suspicion, regardless of how vigilant Apple is being about protecting personal data, not only in China, but the rest of the world. Yeah, it breeds suspicion the way it is right now.
Sometimes the parties don't want you to know what they gave up in order to get something.
Yes. And that too breeds suspicion.
Yeah.
Yeah, something I wanted to mention in my article is I think maybe Apple could go further with its transparency pages. Like, maybe it needs a separate page for China, too. I don't know. That's just something I thought of.
Yeah, that I would go for that. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And here's the deal. If you need new employees for your business and you want to have the highest likelihood of getting the employees you want faster and with lower expenses, then you should look at LinkedIn Jobs. Over 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn. The people that are applying for jobs through LinkedIn Jobs tend to be people that are more interested in the job itself. And businesses have been rating LinkedIn 40% higher than other job boards for finding quality candidates. And that's a big deal when you need to find the right people to bring into your business. And you can save some money doing this because LinkedIn has a special discount for you as a Daily Observations listener. Here's the deal. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor today. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about today, John, is your new iPhone. You have the iPhone XS Max, and you're kind of wowed by this.
Yeah, I love it. There's so many things we do on our phones that just go better on a bigger screen. And when I got this phone, I knew I wanted a bigger phone because I had an experience with the iPhone X.
Mm-hmm.
And it just whet my appetite for a bigger display. And so I wrote this article about, first of all, two threads. One, my reaction to the bigger screen and why it's so helpful. And two, I explored some of the reasons why people have been fond of the smaller phones. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a technical and cultural adaption that's going to have to change. Because when we have what we have, we get used to it and we adapt to it in a certain way. And I've had this discussion with you and with Kelly, I think, in the past about using one hand with the phone and fitting it in your pocket. Mm-hmm. So I explored those issues in light of the movement towards bigger phones, which I think is here to stay.
I agree.
And the development of the technology cries out for a larger display. We do more things. We watch 4K videos, even though it's not a 4K display. It doesn't need to be at that size. But we do so many things with our phone. The communications ability of the phone, the speeds that we can move data in and out of the phone also cry out for a larger display and utilization of that. So I took a photo of my original iPhone from 2007 next to the iPhone XS Max, and it's amazing. I can't believe I used to read web pages with 2G Edge on that original 3.5-inch screen. It's amazing. We did it.
We grew.
And we evolved over the last 11 years. And I think this business of finding a way to carry our phones instead of wearing them and handling them. I talked about how it's the same size as a Hewlett-Packard calculator I have. I have an HP 35S amongst some other HPs.
And you have a photo of that in there too.
And it's the same size. They're both just about 6 inches tall, 6.2. And so, you know, if you've been using an HP calculator and holding it in your hand and pressing keys with one hand, holding it with one hand and pressing keys with the other, then it's a very natural thing to hold the iPhone XS Max in one hand and press keys with the other, or touch icons or do gestures or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's an evolving technology based on the speed and the communications. And so I just explored how much I love the big screen and why I think it's here to stay, and how some of these older memes of one-handed user are just going to have to go away. And the iPhone SE is dead.
Yeah, the iPhone SE is dead.
Resurrected.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, and this still holds true, although I get that I have to adapt, and I have, because I have an iPhone X. The one-handed use. For me, the devices that fall into this size range are one-handed devices so that I can use them easily on the move. And if I need something where it's two-hand use, holding in one, typing with the other, now it becomes something where I have to be stationary again. And the whole, well, one of the big things for me with having a smartphone is that I can be very mobile and do things all the time.
God, I hope you don't get run over by a bus.
I hope I don't get run over by a bus as well. That would ruin my whole day. Yeah. So, now, it's not like I walk around with my head buried in my phone, but if I'm walking along and I get a message, say, like, let's say Andrew sends me a text message, and it involves more than just a very quick cursory reply, then I need to like take my phone out and type a message.
Okay. I should explore that in an article someday. Time lag. Do we really need to respond instantly? Or can there be a time lag?
And in many cases, there probably can be a time lag, even when we don't want one. But there's also something to be said for, oh, here's something that's happening right now that I can deal with and move on from, and I'm not stacking up stuff to deal with later. And so when I get those messages like that, I like to just deal with them and move on so that I don't have stuff stacking up.
I must admit, when I send somebody an email, I wonder why they haven't responded in the next 3 minutes.
I know. And then you're checking, and they're like, they're just ignoring me, aren't they?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Okay, so the big screen thing. The big screen is actually really nice, and I love the photo of your original iPhone next to the iPhone XS Max, and the entire phone doesn't even cover the screen on the XS Max. It's just, it is amazing.
Yeah.
And I do look at this and think, how did we get by with such a small screen? But at the same time, man, it was so awesome. I mean, it completely changed how I did things. But when I got my first iPhone, the original iPhone, I went from having to carry a computer and and my palm handheld and a cell phone with me everywhere to all of a sudden I could go a lot of places with just a phone in my pocket and still be as productive. Life changing.
I have a friend who has a 27 inch 4K, 5K, 5K iMac, but he also has an iPhone, and he stayed with us for a while he was house hunting. And he did everything on his phone. He communicated with his real estate agent. He reviewed contracts. He signed contracts. He did equipment, appliance purchases. He did everything on his iPhone 7, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. Everything. Absolutely amazing what we can do on our phones. Yeah. I was at a meetup the other night. And I won't say what it was for because I don't want to narrow down too much because I'm calling someone out. And there was someone that was there and they were taking notes. They had their laptop in front of them. So full screen, full keyboard, where you can type really fast. And they were using their laptop only as a stand to prop up their iPhone. And I believe it was a 7. At an angle, and they were typing on the iPhone instead. Oh, wow. and I was looking at that, and I'm like, are you a fool? You have a whole screen and a whole keyboard where you could be a lot more efficient. But I never said anything because I also realized, actually, for this person and the way that they interact with their technology, their laptop is probably a better stand for their iPhone. And yeah, so I totally get it. For some people, that iPhone can become the only tool that they need. And it sure makes that Max screen a lot more useful.
Yeah, so we're going to have to figure out how we're going to carry these things around. I remember one time talking to Adam Christensen about how I think he had a plus model, maybe it was a 6 plus or something, and he put it in his back pocket, and it was kind of awkward when you're ready to sit down. You've got a plus model in your back pocket. If you put it in your front pocket, depending on the size of your jeans pocket, and it may not provide enough slack for you to actually comfortably sit down.
Yeah, that's true.
And shirt pockets aren't so dominant anymore, except in the Dilbert world where you wear a white dress shirt to work.
Yeah, and who wants to put something that big and that heavy in a shirt pocket?
And one of the readers said he worked in construction and he had an iPhone in his shirt pocket and he bent over and his iPhone went into a bucket of gray paint.
Ooh. Oh.
He cleaned it up, washed it out, and it still worked, but the speakers were clogged, and it never sounded as good as it did.
I'm sure it didn't. First,
but it survived. But, yeah, that's the one thing that we haven't forgotten. You know, I use a messenger bag when I'm out and about, and so I keep my phone in there, and it's protected and padded. Mm-hmm. So no trouble sitting down. But not everybody wants to carry a messenger bag, so...
That is true.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Yeah, we do, because we've hit, I think, this year the critical point for phone sizes and portability, and it'll be interesting to see how we adapt to that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. John, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
It's great to have both of you on the show. This has been a lot of fun. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get $50 off your first job post. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.